You are tuned into the Story Behind the Business podcast. My name is Leyland Diano, and I'm here with my co-hosts Adam Bessie and Joel McDonald.
Is brought
to you by Agency Media and the Westland Group.
I am very excited to introduce our guest today for a number of reasons. And one of them is his name, because I'm always happy when there's another Joel. We had two Adams on last week. So a big fan of that, but also just really excited to hear what he's got to talk about. So our guest today, biz development manager at the Skidmore Group. He's a TEDx speaker. I know that because I watched it today. He's a big LinkedIn influencer, Joel Hansen. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
I don't know if we normally clap there, but we clap. Right?
I've been starting to clap a little bit. You kind of wanted to clap. And just so everybody knows, a big thing too with Joel Hansen is he was my co-director for the Canadian Internet Marketing Conference back in 2018. Yeah, 2018. So we have some history together. Excited to dive in on some of the tactical stuff you've been doing over the last 2 years and see if there's anything that you can kind of deliver to us and our audience in terms of how they can kind of optimize their business and their brand online. But before we get going, Joel, why don't you kind of maybe give a little bit of a background on where you're at right now and what you're doing and how you essentially got there.
For sure. So I, full-time role is with the Skidmore Group as a business development manager. And my role with them is basically heading up the commercial sales and corporate partnerships for about 400 of the businesses we serve in Greater Vancouver. And then also leading the marketing side for social, SEO, and just digital on kind of lead generation, things like that. And then I also do marketing advising on the side for helping companies or executives understand LinkedIn, as well as kind of coaching businesses to navigate their message for a Gen Z audience. And then on the side, just whether that's speaking or kind of helping out students or young professionals navigating the working world, I think we're in a really interesting time where we've never been more interconnected as humanity. And so just kind of play my part there to answer questions and provide introductions. So, yeah.
So Joel McDonald, I know you're about to ask him a quick question, but just to kind of tee up and maybe dive into a little bit, how did you, like on your LinkedIn, it says, is not a youth editor, but what's the actual terminology that you have on your LinkedIn? And how did you get so in the books with LinkedIn? I know you were posting, you were frequent on LinkedIn, but maybe you can take us through, like, how did you get to that upper echelon of being a certified LinkedIner?
For sure. So a lot of these bigger brands, Adobe, Google, LinkedIn, they open up these kind of bridgeways, let's say, or advisory boards for gaining feedback and information from their younger demographics that use the product. So LinkedIn being one of them, they have a program called the Campus Editor Program. And that basically entails, when I was in my last year of university, I just applied to be a part of it. And essentially, it was just a group of 40 undergraduate, graduate level students across North America, Europe, and couple different continents, and they basically just use that as a space to gain feedback on how LinkedIn could better position themselves to help younger people. And then those individuals kind of served as advisors or people just to help people understand the platform in their kind of respective areas. So I kind of help people in Vancouver, so students at UBC or Trinity Western, UFV. And then it also just became a place where if charities or companies had questions, I just had this, I guess, wealth of knowledge from editors or programs at LinkedIn to kind of deliver that source of help to people that needed it.
Awesome. I got to jump in and ask a question, Joel. I saw you were about to there.
You're going to ask the same question. I'm going to ask.
No, it's not. It's a different question, I'm sure. So I'm going to ask you this because I've seen you on LinkedIn, obviously, for the past couple of years, and you get a lot of engagement. Being an editor, does that give the algorithm a little more juice for your profile, or are you just that good at posting?
Great question. It does not. since my full-time role isn't with them, I can't, you know, elbow someone in New York or San Francisco to say boost my post. However, you know, with time and with any craft, I think comes a better understanding of how to navigate your messaging. And with that, I think that's kind of how it's come to be. But during my time as kind of a youth editor and campus editor, you do kind of learn certain tactics, which I'm happy to share on the podcast today. But like anything, you know, you have good days, you have bad days, you have good posts and you have slower posts. And so making it more about the process rather than the output, I think has been a key for me.
Yeah, I can get 200,000 views on TikTok, but I can't get 50 likes on LinkedIn, you know? So I got to
figure that's right. That's right.
One of the things we talk about, Joel, is the way people sell on LinkedIn and just what a terrible job a lot of people do with just spamming your inbox of trying to sell you products you don't know. And I'm curious your thoughts on two things. One is, do you use LinkedIn yourself in your job as your business development manager? And if so, and I know this is probably a question you could talk for a long time on, what do you see as sort of the main things people do wrong when they're selling on LinkedIn? And what are some things they should be doing in order to be more effective?
Yeah, for sure. I do use it in my role in some aspects, but a lot of my kind of contacts in the space that would develop contracts or partnerships, they're not too digitally savvy. And so sometimes actually what happens is I'll connect with someone else on their team, whether that's the CEO or the CMO, director of marketing, that's a bit more public facing. And then I'll actually use that as a kind of way to gain information on the company or just build that rapport relationship in a way that might be of use later in the relationship. Mm-hmm. But I think the important thing to note about LinkedIn is that it's a long game. And if you're not in it for a couple of years, don't get into it at all. I think I'd say don't use it to sell that day or that week. But once you've built that rapport and relationship, it will be so valuable in a couple of years, because before you step into a meeting, they'll know about all the projects and the companies you've worked with. And you just can't do that over the phone.
Yeah. One of the things that we notice with LinkedIn is that, you know, there's a group of those of you LinkedIn influencers, and you guys structure your post somewhat similar. It's maybe a dual question. One, how often is LinkedIn adjusting their algorithm to maybe keep you influencers on your toes, if at all? And then two, what are some of the things that you're seeing right now that's like, oh, if you're not putting these things, if you're not tagging these people, if you're not adding these hashtags, you're going to be at the bottom of the algorithm?
Yeah. I'll try and answer as best I can. Feel free to jump in, because I think there was a couple good questions there. I think the most frustrating thing about LinkedIn as a platform is that, as far as I know, you can't buy your followers or you can't buy your status. Some people, if you have a name like Bill Gates or Richard Branson, they do work with LinkedIn to kind of build out more of a steady influencer stream of content partnerships and things like that. But everyone starts at ground zero, and there's no bots or automated people to leave you comments or likes. And I think that's the best part about the platform, is that the best idea wins. And if you don't have good ideas or if you don't have good things to say, you stick at kind of a lower number. And it doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a $5 million brand. If you can't tell a good story or if you can't portray a good idea, no one will follow your content. And I think that's really valuable to note. The second thing would be the algorithm does continue to change, but the focus of LinkedIn is to provide economic opportunity for people across the world. And so what LinkedIn will always do, I believe, is that they'll always favor the reach of a person over a brand. So that means if Adam shares this podcast versus agency media sharing this podcast, I would put 100-1 odds on Adam's post reaching more people than agency media's. Hootsuite right. also does something called employee advocacy, which means as soon as there's something important to share, all their employees will jump in on the topic and share from their networks rather than the company network. And they found that by sourcing where the link goes and how much more people are willing to trust the content, it always goes back to the person winning over the brand. A third thing to note, LinkedIn is paid to keep people on LinkedIn, just like Forbes, just like Google. So when you're posting anything, you want to make sure that you're keeping people on LinkedIn to favorite the brand. And so again, if we're posting this podcast or this video, I would challenge you guys to say, instead of putting it on your Apple podcast or posting the agency link, get a screen video recording of this or the audio to share natively so it lives on LinkedIn. And then LinkedIn will foster a better spread of that message because they understand that it'll be valuable keeping their members on the platform.
Yeah, I think we found that out because we actually tried to do that, but on LinkedIn, we couldn't update the video because the file was too large. But that is interesting because I've noticed that when I put videos natively into LinkedIn, they do really well. And if I go on, if I'm looking at a YouTube and I hit share on LinkedIn, sometimes I'm like, what the heck? Did anyone even see that? Like, did that even show up in anyone's feed? I got like zero likes.
Totally.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. I did not know that LinkedIn would, because even we shared a job post, I think, the other day, and it got very few because it was actually redirecting people to Indeed. So now we know.
Yeah, and another thing to note about the things do change, but there's been a lot of thought around, like, LinkedIn does want to engage new users. And the crazy stat, if my numbers are correct, they change week by week, but there's around 650 million users and about an average of 9 billion impressions per week. Guess how many people post weekly on LinkedIn?
I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a low number.
Yeah, I'm going to say my bet's on a low number.
It's 3 million users. That's less than 1%.
So the land is there for people to jump in and start grabbing. They just got to start to put the effort in.
Exactly. So if you're working with clients or other employees and you're wanting to get out the message, it's a long game and it's best idea wins kind of territory. But if you're willing to do, you know, the work, like anything in life, it can be a really amazing platform just to A/B test different ideas or just connect with other professionals when you notice that a lot of people, they just get it because their boss or professor tells them to, and they never log in every week.
So what do you think people are doing on there if they're logging in but they're not posting? Like, what is it a feed scroll? Like, my LinkedIn is pretty much saturated with I love sales and biz dev people. I love them. Mm-hmm. They're great. I work with a lot of them, but that's all I get on LinkedIn is pretty much a message like every 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Every time I post is, hey, can you outsource your work to me or something? So what are people doing on there? Like, is it recruiting or?
Yeah, there's in terms of people, how they use the platform, an interesting way to, I guess, open your mind to different industries would just be connecting with people outside of your particular niche. So there's influencers and different kind of content creators in each industry, whether that be fashion, tech, medicine, education, sales. But most of our networks and the people we connect with, if they're just our colleagues, it's going to become an echo chamber. So if you want to learn about a different industry, if you want to learn about a different company, the keyword search on LinkedIn is such a powerful resource where you can pull any type of content or industry leader as long as you have the brand or that keyword that you're looking for. And so it's just about reverse engineering. What is a niche or thing you want to learn about? And then what industry leaders can I now maybe follow or engage with to change my echo chamber?
Have you changed your strategy or have you noticed businesses changing their strategy on LinkedIn, since we're talking about that in particular right now during this whole COVID-19? And if so, what are you noticing people are pivoting to on those social channels, and what do you see being effective?
Yeah, I think it's a great question because it's a scary time right now, to be honest, with everyone in their jobs. I don't know what the current stats are, but I think in the States there's over, 15, 20 million people unemployed now. And in Canada, we're looking at I think over 2 or 3 million people. And with that, Indeed, LinkedIn especially will be such, you know, heavy search engine times where people are updating everything about their life, and it's in a quick frenzy because we have so much time at home. And so I think a lot more people are now reconnecting with those past colleagues or past direct reports that they've had. And then they're also looking for jobs or tips to build their online brand. Another thing that I think is common is with a lot of students, I think about 30 to 40% of the users on LinkedIn are under 30, as a lot of the digital disruption comes with TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. A lot of students are also building their brands on LinkedIn. And with a lot of their internships or jobs being canceled due to cuts, a lot of them are connecting to create different content or just learn how other people might be able to connect them to other opportunities. And then a third thing I'd say would be LinkedIn's becoming quite ripe of a spot to use it as a distribution channel for a passion project, you can say. So something that might not make money right away, whether that be writing an article once a week or a podcast once a week, it's a great place to kind of build a community of like-minded creators, because the depth of thought than Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, because whatever you say, you're connected to a brand and you don't have that permission to say whatever you want because everyone can trace back to where you belong.
Joel, I mean, let me understand this too. So obviously, you know, fully buy into what you're saying in terms of people are going to follow personalities and other people versus a brand. So let's say you're talking with a business and they want to display their work. We want to get that Hootsuite advocacy for all companies. We want to believe that all employees will share companies. But let's say I'm a business. I'm not really active on LinkedIn, and I'm not really comfortable creating a brand around myself. But I'll do it as long as it can help generate some business. But what are some of these? What are some of the things that a new business can do really to begin their LinkedIn journey? And obviously there's sites you can Google to say how to best set up your profile. But what are things that you're seeing that are like must-haves for a brand new user who wants to essentially promote their company or their business that they're running?
Yeah, I got three tips for this one. Put on a Spotify playlist and do a full completion of your profile. No one wants to connect or work with someone that doesn't have a picture or a bit of a background in who they are. So step one would be finish your profile completely and make sure that your photo, your headline, and your cover photo are visually appealing. When people are scrolling on their phone or their computer, the first thing they'll see is those first 3 or 6 inches of your profile. And if you don't look like a human being that I want to sit down and have coffee with, I probably won't reach out to have a conversation with you. The second one would be, proving that you're not just a resume and you're actually someone that I want to connect with or have a conversation with. And that just means kind of filling out a couple posts or a couple blurbs about what past roles you've had or kind of what tweaks you as a person or what actually stirs you up as a human being. And then the third thing I'd say would be just that idea of consistency. We hang out with friends that we know when we send them a text or we give them a phone call, they're going to pick up. We would never stay friends with someone that if we gave them a call and they didn't reach back out within a month, why would we stay in touch with them? So playing that game of if you're going to be in it, actually be someone that checks in regularly and is just there to show up. And then the fun really comes in on, with my niche or with my ideas, where do I think I can participate? Where do I think I can provide value so much to the extent that they want to ask me out for coffee? And maybe it's not to land a deal, but it's just to say, hey, this person's got something cool going on. How can we work together? How can we maybe learn and set up a phone call? And I think that comes from playing a bit of a longer game, but I think the results that can garner can be a lot more powerful.
One of the things I read about LinkedIn, and it makes sense once I read it, and it was talking about that, like on Facebook, Facebook is not your life. Facebook is what you want people to think your life is. And people don't often post that way. But on LinkedIn is different, where you can actually say on LinkedIn, hey, I'm having a real challenge in my business. I don't know how to do blank. I'm having a trouble doing this. What are everybody's thoughts? And then people can chime in, where in other platforms, you don't do that. People don't say, hey, I'm having a real hard time parenting my kids. On Facebook, you just put out great photos and everyone thinks you're a wonderful mom. Which I think is what makes LinkedIn kind of a neat, you know, channel that way, where people can be vulnerable. Is that something you talk about, or you want to do in your own personal LinkedIn, you can be a little vulnerable because everybody's trying to learn from each other?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Joel. I think there's a common thread too in business that I think we're all seeing, where vulnerability and opening up as a leader is one of the best things for your teams, right? If you're trying to build that rapport, having a direct report, we all know that sharing your past experiences or past failures open up a stronger dialogue and a better relationship. And I think that same thing's happening online, especially with LinkedIn, where people are noticing that when you do a Zoom call and you're working from screen, that's an okay thing because we're all human. If we have a picture perfect background and our life's all together, that doesn't portray the most, you know, human traits of maybe someone that I want to connect with. Mm-hmm. I am seeing that there is a lot of vulnerability in the sense of, you know, I just got fired and people kind of rallying together to post a Google sheet of 100 people that were just laid off at a company in Toronto last week. How can we get these talented people new gigs by next month? There's that really cool camaraderie that I don't see on any other platform. The other thing I think I try to watch for is not, you know, misleading people with the vulnerability, just like Instagram or YouTube. Are you being authentic with that vulnerability, or maybe are you overusing it in a way where you're trying to get exposure just to be vulnerable? Mm-hmm. I think that's a valuable line to draw. And another one I was going to note would be, there's an authenticity I think that comes with, after you build those relationships, people do want to see that personal side to you. And so just ensuring that you're not a robot with these automated responses or posts is something that I think does quite well on the platform.
I wanted to ask you a tactical question before we start heading on the direction of wrapping this up. So I read this quote on LinkedIn, actually, and it wasn't, it's probably not original, but this guy posted, everyone wants a newsletter with thousands of subscribers, but no one wants to ship that second newsletter when they have 5 subscribers. And so that's something that I'm always challenged with and have been on LinkedIn, is you put a lot of effort into a post and it's like, oh, I put all that effort into this. No one really engaged with it. Like, was that a wasted effort? So maybe a couple of things from you would be, is how to maximize your reach on LinkedIn. I know there's like tagging strategies and things like that, but then also maybe like some quick tips on getting through that, of just the mentality of what to post, how often, and that sort of thing.
Yeah. In terms of posting strategy, I think what I would come down to, kind of an overarching idea, would be ensuring that you love the process and the documentation and the learning, not just the output. And I think that's common in any craft, but if you're expecting, you know, 1 million views on the first couple posts, maybe pack up your things and head home. Understand that it's a long game, right? It's about the humility to say, hey, I'm going to try this, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to take notes and see what works the next time. And I think that's cool, because the people that aren't in it for the long run, they usually jump to TikTok or somewhere else. But I'm just joking.
No, it's all good, man.
I know you guys.
I went viral on TikTok by accident. A guy like me does not intend to go viral on TikTok.
No. I'm just joking. More chatting with the younger kids in high school and stuff. In terms of posting strategy, something to take notes for the listeners or for you guys, there's a thought that your post performs best based on the first hour that it's live. So if we were to share about this podcast episode and we wanted to ensure that the post did well, a strategy could be just giving the agency team and maybe some of our colleagues and friends a heads up that tomorrow we're going to be posting an episode at 9 a.m. That could be a strategy to say, if you're okay with it, or if you don't mind watching the episode or dropping a like and comment to show support, that's a great way to be genuine, to say, I'm going to be dropping a post coming up at XYZ time. Could you engage with it? And then when they show engagement, their whole audience and network shows that they're engaging with the post. Henceforth, if you get a couple comments or a couple likes in the first couple minutes, that continues to exponentially grow. And that's supposedly how the LinkedIn posting strategy works. A couple other ones to maybe note would be, LinkedIn is scanning for keywords or hashtags. So there is an algorithm that kind of spins the LinkedIn cycle. But if you're using hashtags or keywords that are cutting in the news or current times, whether that be working remote or entrepreneurship or culture, LinkedIn can pick those things up. And if they like it, they can surface that and redistribute it to different regions. And then thirdly would be just content analysis, which would be understanding that it's moving toward more video. And so maybe posting a couple sentences every single week isn't the best way to go, but try chopping things up so that if you have an article, turn that into a 1 minute video. If you have a 1 minute video, turn that into a picture and a couple pieces of text. Try and A/B test things so that you can learn what works best for your audience in your industry. And people also like that difference, because it kind of shakes things up and keeps things fresh. And then one last note to ramble, LinkedIn is a work tool. So people don't necessarily like seeing content on the weekend or after 5 o'clock. Some people do, and they work or check online apps afterwards. But if you can post in the morning between 7 to 9, that's also found that those are the best times to interact with a professional audience.
I mean, those are some really great points, especially that last one that you gave about the time. Obviously, we like to, some of us, I mean, myself, I look in the evening on LinkedIn because I feel like I'm not as active, but you're right. It is a professional platform. You got to play by certain rules to that platform. And if the audience is checking it during that time, then yeah, why would you post? And why would you post at 5 o'clock on a Friday? No one's going to see it come Monday.
Totally. You guys are on the rooftop.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. We're on the rooftop already. We're not checking LinkedIn.
That's right. Having
beer Friday. I want to be very conscious for your time too, Joel. So I usually like to steal Joel McDonald's last question, but because it's the same name, Joel, why don't you hit Joel Hansen with the last final question before we wrap this?
So one of the things we like to ask people, Joel, is for the last couple of weeks, we've been meeting with people in all sorts of different industries, from professional football players to people that own a gym. And one of the things we're finding is when we're meeting with these people, it's like, man, they're energetic and they're excited and they're positive. And one of my, like even you, I saw online the other day, you were bringing people drinks. You were driving around and bringing people drinks. I don't know if it's legal. Maybe we shouldn't say that. But I see you're positive and you're excited even on this call. What do you do personally, like, you know, in this time that's a little crazy? I don't know if you're working from home there. To remain that way, what are some things that you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. I've always been a big believer in the mornings and protecting your morning before you approach the day. So for me, that's getting quiet time to journal and reflect on the past day or kind of how the day is approaching. And then also exercise has been a big thing for me. So even if the gyms are closed, I heard your episode with Curtis. You can still get outside. You can still be active or get in some sort of movement in the day. And I think that's really important. And then I'd say thirdly, accountability has been huge for me. So having a couple of friends, similar age, similar lifestyle, and goals just to get on a conference call once a month, or just to text, check in, hey, I know you're working on XYZ, how's that going? Having that accountability from a peer perspective as well as a mentor maybe 20 years ahead has been really important for me. And those three things combined have been a great way to almost stimulate some sort of momentum during times where the world isn't always the place you want to be right now.
Right on. I know this was a good podcast, Joel, because I wrote notes, and I don't always write notes. But when we have a good guest, I'm writing the whole time because I'm enjoying what you're saying. And so I always kind of judge how good it was by how many notes I wrote at the end of it.
That's awesome.
If you're a past guest listening to this, and Joel did not tell you that he took notes, that does not mean that you weren't a great guest. Just throwing that out there.
I just want to throw it out to you that you probably will be a guest that we're going to reach out to kind of do a pulse check and see what you're seeing. Obviously, the amount of knowledge you have on something as specific as LinkedIn. And I don't even want to just use LinkedIn. I think we could have talked to you a lot just on terms of general marketing and even in terms of business development. So want to get you back on. I think I don't even want to use the word young professional, because you speak with such business acumen, marketing acumen that anybody at any age should take note of. So it's fantastic discussion. We'll have all of your social handles and the best place to reach you on the show notes. Obviously, if by now you're still listening to this podcast, reach out to the guy on LinkedIn. He's more than happy to connect and get you involved. Joel, from the team here at Story Behind the Business, we want to thank you for being a fantastic guest today.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for hosting.